see Jesus face to face, his presence will govern and light heaven the same way the sun illuminates the sky. The glory of the Lord allows no shadows in all of heaven. In my imagination, I can see myself talking to Jesus, hearing his words, and being within reach of the person who has been the all-encompassing focus of all my affections. We'll get to talk to him and hear his words. My dad used to say when he got to heaven, he had some serious questions for God. And I remember thinking, I doubt it. I'm pretty sure when we see him, all our questions will be answered. Imagine hearing his voice. In Revelation 14:2, it says his voice is like the voice of many waters and like the voice of loud thunder. Imagine the stories we'll tell and hear. There will be no contention, no competition or conflict, no one looking over your shoulder waiting for you to make a mistake, no miscommunicated or misunderstood words, and no disappointment. The sparks of struggle will be over and done with. No more friction from the intersection of life and death in us. We will have transitioned beyond our earthly place to the heavenly home with Jesus. Sounds a little too good to be true, but it is true nonetheless. Jesus said, "It's true. My Bible tells me so." In a world where so much of everything that is said, seen, and heard leaves us wondering how much of it all was true, God is the one consistent, reliable person alive. When I look at the milling crowds in the stores and on the street, I wonder to myself, why do we have such a hard time letting God be good to us? I think I know why I do, but maybe it's not such a bad question for yourself either. Sorting out the why of that question is all part of transition, which often looks like the sparks of struggle flying into the sky on warm air currents from a campfire that's just been stirred. The transition to maturity is uncomfortable. I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts, a semi-live broadcast from the deck of a rural cafe overlooking the Ocklawaha River. Hopefully, you'll be inspired to think on the goodness of God beyond just what is encountered in your workaday world. I'll say it again. I think most folks have a lot of Bible in their heads, but somehow they've missed the Father's heart. This evening's topic is part of an effort to offer some things to contemplate in hopes of broadening our horizons to know who it is that loves us, what he means when he says what he says, and why we do the things we do. Do you know what I mean? I've been thinking lately that the only thing worse than people who don't believe anything are people who are colorless and believe everything and anything. Sort of like carp, just swallowing anything and everything presented to them and are generally okay with most things that happen, as long as it doesn't happen to them. Colorless, I tell you, colorless. Friends, we are the people of God, and we are supposed to be loyal to God's values. But I do suppose it would be good to know what those values are. This evening's topic is friction in transition, meaning the sparks of transition and how we conduct ourselves in the middle of it all. Put your ears on, sit back, relax, and breathe easy. I'll be right back. When the Lord moves us from where we are to where we will be, either mentally, physically, spiritually, or maybe all three at one time, it is called transition, and with it comes friction. I can't say for certain, but I'm pretty sure most all of us have endured transitionary periods. In the Lord's doing of a new thing, the habits, patterns, and rhythms we've developed over time may take a while to unravel as He creates new ones. From our perspective, it's a season of discomfort. We may even experience a season of lack, or what we think is not having enough. Enough food, enough money, support, inspiration, passion, insight, or vision. Whatever it is, we just feel a lack. I've learned over the years to stop arguing with my lack. Complaining, oh, I wish this, and oh, I wish that. If I could just, and if only. Some may call it all a season of testing, in the sense of seeing if we can pass some imaginary measure of performance to go to an imaginary next level, as if we're in a video game somehow. But the truth is, more than likely, in the end, it is to draw our character to the surface. All very trying, to say the least. Most transitions seem to bring out our sighing, deep breaths, complaints, worrying, and agonizing over even the smallest things. Watching the transition of an unhatched chick is probably one of the most exhausting and agonizing transitions I can think of. While getting free of the shell, the little bird must also learn to breathe. It is astounding it even lives long enough to mature. In its transition from egg to maturity, it seems all odds are against it surviving from the start. The eggshell was once its protection, but now, what was once a protection from harm has become its potential death, just like what once was a blessing to us has now become a curse. If we don't transition to the new place, we will be constrained by the old. Colossians 1:28-29. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling, using all God's working that He powerfully works within me. In Colossians 1, verse 29, and again in chapter 2, verse 1, where the English word struggling and struggle, or strive and striving, is used, it is derived from the Greek word agon, which is where we get our English word for agony. Striving and struggling is not always linked to hard breathing and sighing, but in the sense of becoming mature and wrestling with life, yes, it is. It's not the happiest of places. Transition is a place where our flesh contends with the direction and will of the Lord. And in that place of contending, there is friction, pressure, heat, sparks. There are even dangers of finding solace in the things of the world which are easier and seem more peaceable at the time, but in the long run are hurtful for us and may even diminish us. But as all things come to a head, there are two facts that remain which we must consider. One fact is, we may not want to go through the deep waters of change, but like it or not, God is going there. We may have our certificates of achievements, titles granted by men, approvals and endorsements of participation, but none of those things are fireproof. Our mindset of seeing ourselves as having value based on who we sat under or mentored under is not fireproof. How we value God, ourselves and others must change. Moving forward is necessary, and if we are not willing for the transition, we'll never know the greater anointing.
How we value God, ourselves and others must change. Moving forward is necessary, and if we are not willing for the transition, we'll never know the greater anointing.
The second is, we can't solve problems with the same mindset which created the problems. When I came to the Lord, I learned all the things I should not do, say, or think. I learned by heart all the cannots, will nots, do nots, and consequently, I was always in a knot and learned very little about grace. As time moved on, the Lord repetitively took me through transition to learn about how the law could bring me out, but only grace could bring me in. By law, everyone is disqualified, but only grace gave me rest, which means I had to learn to rest in His strength.
We can't solve problems with the same mindset which created the problems.
In transition, we rarely are 100% sure what we're doing is the Lord, but I think it prudent to add that by the time we're 100% sure, our opportunity likely is probably long passed us by. I knew a man many years ago who had a large enough pasture to split into 5 sections of 20 acres each, all fenced with gates leading from one pasture to another. In one pasture, he put cattle. As the cattle grew and ate one pasture down, he would move them to a new and richer field where the grass was lush, giving the other pastures time to recuperate, be fertilized, tilled, and watered. Do you know, every time he moved the cows to a better place, all the cattle would bellow and moan for 2 to 3 days and nights, all because they had moved to a new place. The stress of having been moved was far more devastating to them than the excellence of the place they had moved to. Eventually, they would resign themselves to being in the new place, creating new routines with new places to stand and whatever else cattle do, learning to regroup as they got bigger and more mature. Friends, there will be times of exasperation. I tend to see myself like that. As the Lord takes me through a season of transition, even though He leads me beside still waters and restores my soul, I low and bellow about my discomfort while the friction of change reshapes my passions and vision. The stress and discomfort of the new development and growth is far more gripping than the excellent place He's brought me into. As usual, though, I learn to make new friends, find the courage to venture out to explore. New routines are created. Fresh experiences and wisdom is gained, and it's not too long before I realize the new place He has brought me to is better than the old place I left. There will be times of exasperation. Expect it. Haven't we all said with finality things like,
"If you're going to use me, then use me, and if not, then let me go."
Things will conclude, and settling down will come around. Trust God even when where you're going isn't apparent. I know a man who built a house for himself in a remote location. He was burned out with church. Most people had become an irritation, and he was just tired of religiousness, self-important preachers, and dead works. The house was beautiful, just the right size to be manageable, with enough property to keep some livestock and grow a garden. As time went on, God healed his heart of the wounds of the past, and the season of being brought aside with the Lord was coming to a close. A new transition was in the wind. What was once a solitary place of healing and solace had become a secluded prison of his own making, and the Lord was leading him to greener pastures. It was uncomfortable. All his familiar things seemed to be becoming something else. The struggle of becoming someone he didn't know how to be was lonely and uncomfortable. He knew the idea was to go with God, not get what you want. But the surface resistance to forward momentum can be difficult to overcome. I believe God allows aloneness to mature us, to rely on Him and Him alone. Though we feel so alone, let us be determined to depend on God until we know we're not alone. Often in transition, we focus just on the things that have changed. Remember, you are more than the change, and your life is broader than your circumstances. Invest yourself in church, clubs, the gym, service to God, family, and friends. If you have moved, find a new church, find a gym, ask people where the best local walks are. Go visiting the shut-in and afflicted. There is no need to stop doing the things you used to do to stay balanced and bright. Be patient. This is only a transition. It is not entrenched pain. Did you get that? This is the Lord leading you through a transition to higher ground, and it is not entrenched pain. Change is wearisome, and this may well be a tough time, but you can do this. Pray that God wouldn't take away the pain of the transition, but that He would draw you closer to Himself, that you would be comforted by His presence. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you as you watch the past fade away and embrace what lies ahead. The church must change. We cannot continue to do the things the way we did in 1968 anymore. The old way of church seems like the 1968 religious paradigm that smells like a dead body in the back. God is moving on, and we may not be going there, but God is going there whether we like it or not. Position yourself and make ready. There is a major repolarization on the horizon, and we need to be ready. dog tags of where you go to church back in your pocket and learn to identify with Jesus Christ, not the club. The question is, do you know Jesus? Not, where do you go to church? We need to become more flexible and adopt some spiritual adaptability. Now, I don't mean to be more lenient about sin, poor doctrine, and unrighteous living. I mean to be more flexible when it comes to following the Lord. If we put God in a box, He will kick over the chairs, overturn tables, scatter the money on the floor, and even anoint people whom you would have never thought possible. Luke 11:33 speaks of hiding a lit candle under a bushel basket. I'd like you to know that if you do that, one of two things is going to happen. The candle will go out, or it will burn the basket down. And seeing as how the light of God does not extinguish, your hiding place, the bushel basket, is likely to go up in flames at some point. We need to be more flexible. If the Lord takes you through a transitional season to prepare you to move to another country, don't draw a hard line saying you won't go there. I know this may seem hard to hear, but if we will not bend, He may simply pass us by and pick someone else. He did it to Israel. Why not you? As we learn flexibility and some spiritual adaptability, it doesn't happen all at once. Three words come to mind. Here they are. Little by little.
Little by little.
In Deuteronomy 7, the Lord told Israel in the days of change that were coming, He would drive out the nations before them, little by little.
Little by little.
For if they did it too quickly, the wild things around them would multiply. I believe Israel thought this a wonderful promise at first, but when they were in the middle of all that transition, the friction of constantly following God's lead and the daily choosing to be obedient to subdue nations larger and stronger than themselves, it was nerve-wracking and a fearsome thing. I bet they were all very, very uncomfortable. They probably wondered if they were capable of winning against such odds, and I'm sure we all think the same things to ourselves.
What if I'm a failure the first day at my new job?
What if no one likes me?
I don't know that I can remember all the processes.
What if I can't find a good church?
I don't know how to be the Christian I'm supposed to be.
What if I can't find a job or a house?
What if no one loves me and I never get married and have children?
Just like Moses knew that God's heart was for Israel to triumph over their formidable enemies, and that God had a strategy for victory and deliverance, we need to believe God will not leave us in the middle of our transitional season to go off doing something else. And what do you think God's plan was? Here's what I think. Basically, it was one step at a time, little by little. Inch by inch, life is a cinch. Yard by yard, it's very hard. The Lord could have easily just cleared a path to the promised land, but in His wisdom, He knew Israel needed some skin in the game and they needed to fight for what God had given them. They had to know God was with them and that they could overcome with strength and confidence that the Lord meant all He said and would do all He promised. We have a better promise than Israel did in the desert under the law. Hebrews 8:5-6. Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for the Lord said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." But now Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as He is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Absolutely believe God has a place for you which has been providentially orchestrated. He has put dreams, vision, and desires in your heart, and I bet if you listen closely in your innermost person, you can hear His destiny calling. Just like Israel, you are on a journey toward the full possession of His promises to you, and also like them, you can rest assured you will face opposition as you go. But God has the same strategy for victory in your life as He had for Israel all those years ago.
Little by little,
you will get where He wants you to go, one step at a time, one day at a time, one trial at a time, one victory at a time. You can rest assured He is entirely capable of getting you where you need to go, when you need to be there. You can do this, so don't allow yourself to be overwhelmed in the in-between place, in the hallway between appointments, your time of transition. In order to be more than conquerors, as Paul wrote in Romans 8:13, there needs to be some overcoming going on, some trust in God building, faith stretching, rigorous honesty preferring times in our lives. There needs to be some standing for the truth, regardless of how life looks. That is called exercise and spiritual muscle building. Others would call it maturity. I don't believe the Lord will eliminate all the opposition against you at one time, nor will He set you in your quote-unquote land of promise without taking you through the experiences necessary to learn the lessons and develop the character you will need in the new place where your transition is taking you. He will take out your enemies, eliminating them one by one, and that will take time, all during which He expects us to participate with Him in accomplishing our own path of growing up and becoming overcomers in His name. Instead of quickly eliminating the opposition, God wants to get out the old and bring in the new. He will start with the posture of our heart, our attitudes and mindsets. He'll file off our sharp edges with circumstances, challenging relationships, and anything else that would keep us from being fully prepared and equipped to possess the promises He has given us. If you are afraid, just watch the Lord. He'll set up and coordinate situations that will help us overcome fear and replace it with faith. If no matter how we try, we can't seem to get a grip on our finances, watch the Lord and see how He may send you additional work so that your bondage to your bills can be replaced with financial freedom. And when the extra work comes, we can't be lazy whiners preferring to lay on the couch. And yes, we all typically moan and bellow because we are so uncomfortable. But I'm offering these views in hopes that if we understand the heart of the Lord a little more closely, transition may not be so uncomfortable or painful as we imagined. I believe it is highly likely that the things which eventually break up marriages had all the signals revealed during the courting phase, We simply weren't paying attention. Maybe we were busy looking at the great grill work, or that amazing engine, or the beautiful interior. But we never got around to doing the work of opening the trunk. The telltale signs of trouble were there, we just didn't pay attention. At some point, though, you have to get out the luggage and open the suitcases to see what's inside. If there is someone in your life who would be a liability to you in the future, God may remove that person and lead you to develop a relationship with someone who has the heart and ability to be a blessing upon arriving at the new appointment. Making the choices to follow the Lord in all those examples are places of friction, where what we want and dream about comes into better alignment with the heart of the Lord. Important and compelling changes in our lives require time and patience, so try not to get frustrated in the process.
Yeah, I know. Easier said than done.
Too often, today's Christian mentality sees life as no more than one big, long trial. And the true goal can only be reached by those who have worked themselves up towards God by their own holiness, by conquering all fleshly desires. Life is not one big, long trial, nor are we powerless to do anything other than what we actually do. And no, you can't work yourself up by your own holiness. Friends, as long as there is a devil and we wear flesh, it's going to be a struggle. Not that we should stop fencing in our passions, but also familiarizing ourselves more exactly with God's grace and be kind to ourselves. Remember, as God removes the things that would hinder you and replaces them with things that will help you, He is developing you into a strong, wise, well-equipped warrior who is able to emerge from every difficulty victoriously. Let the Lord do what He does best. Just let Him do it. So many are in transition, and I hope this is a little insight to encourage us all to not get down about it. Travel well, follow the Lord, let go of those heavy loads, and let your heart rise. The Lord is with you. Remember, it is not entrenched pain, it is merely transition. Think about it. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. When God is involved, even the longest wait has meaning and purpose. He redeems time and restores the years the locusts have eaten. According to Romans 8:28, we can have confidence that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Not one minute of your seemingly uncomfortable and lengthy journey is a waste of time. God does not waste an inkling of His breath, His time, or yours. Instead of being grieved or made heavy, which may occur in your season of transition, Look at it as a priceless opportunity for learning and growth.
Change your attitude from seeing your difficult days as bad days. Remember, they're all good days, just different kinds of good days.
There is friction and transition, tension and release, resistance and liberation. Like revival, uncomfortable and messy. But God is in the middle, and He knows exactly what He's doing. Transition always leads to transformation. And friends, we need more trans in our formation. I'm Social Porter, and this has been another production of Outposts. Cool, jazz, and contemplative conversation to, hopefully, inspire listeners to think about what you spend your time thinking about. If God is not in your picture, it is time to reconsider your position. Consider carefully. Time is of the essence. It is not the time to give up. This program was supported by Living in His Name Ministries, the 2020 Men's Group, our friends at Longview Package Store, Saluda Lodge number 103, Mark Fox, the Mebane Freedom League, Area 22 Guitars, and Trinity Bakers. That's right, Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. Delicious Jazz is by Joe Pass, Spaniol 4, Chick Corea, Stan Getz, Kazumi Watanabe, Paul McCandless, and Michael Blake. All music use is licensed by BMI. When we see Jesus, there will be no controversy, no rivalry, no calamity or discouragement. The sparks and friction of transition will be over and done with. But in the meantime, take it easy, little by little. Enjoy the adventure. Relax and breathe, man, breathe. It's all part of growing up. Pray for your neighbors. It really does make a difference. And be careful. Hopefully, we'll meet again next time on the trail of the Lonesome Pine. Amen and amen.